Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you. We thank God for you tuning in with us on this afternoon. We are giving glory and thanks to God for all that He is doing in our lives. And we praise God for those of you who are tuning in with us on this Blog Talk Radio. This is Kingdom Builders Radio Broadcast. I'm Pastor Ulysses Morgan, and I'm here again on this blessed day to give you a word from the Lord. It is my understanding and it is my prayer and quest that I give understanding to the Word of God according to His will and not my will, but let thine will be done. It is my hopes and desire that I will be a blessing to someone through the experiences that I have served in over the last 40 years of my life in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not here for popularity. I'm not here to get rich quick. I'm not here, amen, just to have a radio broadcast, but I have an assignment, and that assignment is in my spirit, and it won't let me rest until I exercise what God has given me. And this is the reason that I am on this air, also because there are some people, as I said, who can be blessed by the testimony and experience and the revelations that God has given me in the Word of God. Many of us are going through something. You are never exempt from going through anything. You are always going to go through something. And why is that? Because you live in a world in whom the system is not dedicated for justice. And we must understand that. This is why you go through periodically trials and tribulations on every facet. You can go through it, amen, financially, you go through it materialistically, you go through it in marriage, you go through it in family, you go through it in health, you go through it in emotions and feelings, you go through manifold temptations and problems and situations because we live in a system that is not conducive or can give us justice according, amen, to what we desire and what we need to have. And so, therefore, this is the reason why we need a Savior. I don't care what you do, where you go, what you experience. I don't care what your occupation is, what you do. You are going to need a being that is higher than you. You're going to need to call on a God. Amen. And that God is Jesus Christ. Now, the key point of it is, you must understand, is that you have people who saying that there is no God. Well, unless you can explain to me why I'm here, how I got here, how I was molded and shaped, how my father conceived me and my mother delivered me, unless you can explain how the sun is hanging in the air and the earth is here and the trees are growing, if you can explain to me how the stars are in the sky, if you can explain a lot of these phenomenal occurrences that has no explanation, then I may believe that there is no God. But until that time and until an explanation comes up, I must understand that there has to be a superhuman being alive somewhere to cause things to happen that I have no explanation for. And this is what brings me also to the topic that we're going to be discussing on tonight. Glory to God. Amen. You go through, I know it is somebody that I'm talking to now that's listening to me. You go through manifold temptations and afflictions and things happen. People have done you so wrong until you just think about them and you get upset. You can't see them. You get even more upset. People in whom you trusted, people whom you put your faith in, amen. People who promised you things. People who, just stood and guaranteed you things. And yet they turn on you. Glory to God. And sometimes they are people of your own color. Glory to God. As well as others. Amen. But it hurts you so bad. Glory to God. Especially when those of you in whom you trusted turn their back on you and break their promises. And the Bible lets us know that God is a God of His word. And I will say that the way you can tell a person is listen to His word, because if His word is no good, he's no good. Amen. Or she is no good. But we're living in this time now, and we're living in a system where we have to make decisions. You've got to make sometimes complicated decisions. You've got to make decisions that you don't know of, decisions that you do feel confident with, decisions that you're not quite sure of, but those decisions are there and you have to make them. And they're in every facet of life, and every decision you make, you're going to have people that's going to tell you it is wrong to do it. They don't believe that's the way to do it. You're going to have people who are going to say that's the way to go, that's what you should do, and you're halt between two opinions. And here is where it takes, amen, prayer to God to make the right decision. And times, amen, and I know I have several times made the wrong decision, the wrong choices, amen. And one thing that caused me to, be resurrected from that, amen, in my spirit is to understand that I'm not the only one that have made choices that have gone bad. Amen. And I pray and ask God, how do I come back from situations that have really not panned out like I wanted to, amen, took away from me? How do I recover from bad choices? And I want you to know that there is a way to recover, glory to God. You don't have to commit suicide. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to take from somebody else. You don't have to blame anybody else. And if I can give you the first choice, number one is, that's what I just said, don't blame nobody else for the decisions that you made, because all they can do is make suggestions. You make the choice, and you cannot blame anyone else, and it doesn't benefit you to do it anyway. Glory to God. If you made a bad choice, or if you listened to somebody in the wrong manner, then own up to the choices that you made and ask God to help you rectify the situation, and I guarantee you he will. Glory to God. He will do that. Amen. Paul, he related to him, said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in a time of weakness. Glory to God. The grace of Jesus Christ rests with us. Amen. The love of God is with us. Amen. He says, when you are weak, then am I strong. So this is what we must understand. We've all made choices, and people will criticize you sometime about choices. One of the choices that we made, attended a conference on this past weekend, glory to God, had the opportunity of listening to a couple, amen, by the name of Chris Morris and Lisa, and they were talking in reference of their marital situations and the choices that they made in marriage. And one thing I was so proud to hear and so glad for them to hear and know that they are blessed people is because they admitted it. They understood it. They went toward it. They were not ashamed, glory to God, of certain choices. They wouldn't make the same ones again, but they learned from those choices. So the second thing I want to give you is this. Amen. Choices, bad choices, sometimes can be beneficial because you learn from those choices. Amen. You gain knowledge from those choices. You gain wisdom from those choices. And also, you are now become a soldier. You will become now a pioneer and also a, knowledgeable person. You become a book, so to speak, to someone else in whom are going through those same afflictions and make those same bad choices that you made, but now you are able to help somebody who has been down the road that you've been down. Glory to God. So this is what we must understand concerning those choices. So a lot of times, don't criticize yourself. Don't beat yourself in the head. Don't worry about what you lost. Amen. God can give it back to you. God can bring it back. Amen. Don't worry about it. No matter how old you are, how young you are, glory to God. And I know we have made some choices that we call stupid choices. You scratch your head and wonder, what was I thinking? What was going on? Glory to God. But yet and still, the choice has been made. You cannot take it back. You cannot redo it. You cannot undo it. It is done. And the key point of it now is God wants you to understand that because you have made those choices, because you are a fleshly person in the flesh, because you're in this world, this is the reason I came, because you will never know my power or my love if there was nothing for me to deliver you from, if there was nothing for me to correct in your life. And this is what we must understand. Jesus came, amen, to give us, the Bible says, a right to the tree of life, a scripture that you would probably mark down. John 10 and 10, Jesus recorded that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And he comes in the form of humanity. Amen. Most of the time, men, women, amen, who are out, that he uses to steal, kill, and destroy any and everything that you have. Nobody is exempt from this. Whatever you have, the thief comes to take it. Glory to God. And this is why you have to have God, because Jesus says, here's the purpose that I have come. I did not come to condemn you. I did not come to put you in hell. I did not come to make you feel bad. He said, but I come that you might have life. I come that you may have life. I'm giving you a choice. You can have it or you can reject it, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I am available. This is what Jesus is saying. I am available. I am here. I was here before you got here, because I understood that when you got here, there were choices that you were going to make that would be bad choices for you, probably for your family, on the job, with your health. Glory to God. But before you were even born, before you made those choices, I have already come to rectify, to remedy the situation, and to let you know that bad choices never means the end. Glory to God. It is not the end of your journey. It is not the end of your life. It is not the end of your blessings. It is not the end, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, tell me somebody who's never made a bad choice, and I'll show you somebody who's lying through their teeth. Glory to God. You have to understand this. You have to understand the principle. You have to understand that we are in a world that the system of it never gives a man the justice that he deserves, especially when he is trying to do what's right. Therefore, Jesus has come to comfort us in this area. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord has come. He is a comforter and a help. Glory to God. Now let us, if you would allow me, let us go to, glory to God, I want to go to a story in the Bible, and it's a very familiar story. And I'm going to show you this. I'm going to give you several, but I'm going to start off with this one. The Pharisee, who was a segment of a board in the church. They were one of the governing boards of the church. And so they kind of governed the people of God that went to church, and they was the authoritative figure along with the high priest at that time. But they came about their own concept, and when Jesus came into play, they found every opportunity they could to distort his word, to make him out of a liar. But you cannot make truth a lie. You cannot. It is virtually impossible to make truth a lie. And when you have truth in you, amen, people will hurt you, they'll afflict you, they'll talk about you, they'll lie on you, they'll do everything, but they cannot come up with anything substantial to stand on because you cannot turn truth into a lie. This is why it's good to admit your mistakes, admit your faults, and get it together. Now, when they came, they found this woman taken in adultery. And they say, all right, we've got her now. We know where she is. We know what she's doing. Let's go get her, bring her before Jesus. And since he's such a God of love and such a God of healing, amen, let's go and bring this woman before him. Now, this woman that they caught in adultery had made a bad choice. They caught her in a situation she shouldn't have been in. Amen. She had made a choice that was not righteous, that was not holy. And this is what I must say this too. We got to stop condemning people for every little thing. We got to stop it because you cannot judge. I'm going to show you, you cannot judge. Oh, my God. So let me go on and finish with what I'm saying because it really agitates me to a point sometimes of how people can point the finger. But anyway, they brought this woman who made a bad choice to Jesus and put her in front of Jesus and told Jesus and said, we caught this woman in adultery. She was in the very act of adultery. Amen. Now Moses said in the law to stone her. Glory to God. So she is worthy, according to the law, that she must be stoned and killed. And you said that you come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, which is an indication that we must stone this woman. Now, they had in their minds that if he says stone her, then there is no love in him. Yet if he lets her go, he has justified her sin. So they thought they had him. But see, Jesus was a man of truth, glory to God, and you cannot distort truth. Now, this is why it's not good to let people lead your spirit. You, don't tell me to hate who you want me to hate. Don't tell me to abuse who you want me to abuse. Don't tell me to ignore who you want me to ignore. I am my own person, and I cannot go according to your spirit, and whatever was done to you, you get it together with that person, but don't try to involve me into it. Now, when they thought on these lines, glory to God, they caught the woman in the very act of adultery, and it always puzzles me as because I understand, and somebody may need to help me with this, but I always understood that when you committed adultery, it took two people to do that. Now, I don't know why they just brought one, but it took two people to do that.
Right.
I've never known it to be done with one person. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they just brought this one woman. And when they brought her, they gave the scriptures to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Scriptures to Jesus. And now, isn't that odd? I said, Moses and the law said that we must stone her. What do you say? And the Bible said Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, everybody got their theory about writing on the ground, but I just want to tell you my theory of writing on the ground. I don't think it was nothing. I think he stooped down and just went to dawdling in the ground because he was so outdone with the spirit of these Pharisees being officers of the church,
right,
and yet trying to condemn the very people they're supposed to be helping.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, my God, my God. And he was just so outdone. And so he raised up after a moment and said, he that is without sin, you're right. You are absolutely right. My father gave unto Moses to stone them that committed adultery.
Right.
Amen. When they committed adultery, he gave it to them. But since you brought this up, I'm going to give to you that you don't understand the whole part of why my father did it. You just want part of it and the part that pleased you.
Right.
So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you are absolutely right. The scripture says that. But what my father meant was is that those who are going to stone her because she made this bad choice mm-hmm. have to be people who's never made a bad choice.
Absolutely. Right.
You cannot judge a person for making a bad choice and you not be judged for making a bad choice. It may not be the same choice, but it yet and
yes.
still it is contrary to righteousness. It's a bad situation. It's a bad choice. You have to be judged as well. And my, you know, I get outraged because I can't understand what are people thinking about when they point the finger and backbite and talk about people and talk about their wrongdoing and talk about their situations and talk about how they ought to be in hell and talk about how they ought to be judged. What are you thinking about? That tells me you are as ignorant as I thought you were. Because you cannot judge somebody else's wrongdoing and not understand that you will not, you've not been a saint all your life. You've not been a saint all your life, and you probably ain't one now. Glory to God. But you want to judge somebody because you in the church and they're not in the church. What that's got to do with doing wrong? Amen. My God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that judgment's got to begin at the house of God.
Exactly.
It's not going to begin with the sinners. It's not going to begin with those that are not in church. It's going to begin with those that are in church because those that are in church or laying the bad example for those who are outside of the church. So how can those out of the church be brought in the church when they have no guide to go by, when they have no lighthouse, when they have nobody to look up to? Glory to God. This is why I can't condemn these young boys who's wearing their pants, you know, below their sagging or swagging or whatever you want to call it. I can't condemn them. I don't condone that. I try to talk to them, but I can't condemn them because who are they going to look up to? I had a church. My church was in the, how can I say it? It was in the kind of the gang area, drug area. Glory to God. And when I went into that church, I didn't start condemning the guys for selling drugs across the street or doing what they do across the street from the church in the park. I didn't condemn the guys from sagging. I didn't condemn it because I understood the principle. Amen. They have a lack of knowledge. They have a lack of what they need to be looking up to. Amen. I gave them understanding. I gave them compassion. I showed them that I am not a condemning person. And when I did that, they respected me the more. And every time that I would have church in my church, they would leave the area until church is over. They would respect me just that much. I would go there at night sometime, leave my car open with merchandise in there. It would not be vandalized at all because they respected me because they understood that this is a person who understands us and not condemning us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we have to understand the principle. Glory to God. So they brought this woman, and when they placed this woman down, Jesus said, he that is without sin, he that has never sinned, you are the only one who can stone her. But now if y'all, I'm just paraphrasing, if y'all stone, if any of you stone her for what she, the choice that she made that was bad, then if you have a choice that you made that was bad, then you must be stoned as well. Amen. And when he looked up, they had left her there by herself. And the same principle applies today. When you judge somebody else, God has to judge you as well. Now, watch this. Jesus looked at the lady and asked her a question. He says, daughter, where are those that thine accusers? Where are your accusers? Where are those church people that brought you to the altar? Amen. For committing adultery, and they are running around talking about one another, lying on one another. Amen. Doing everything else spiritually against one another. Where are those people at? She says, I have no accusers anymore. And Jesus said, neither do accuse you. Now, the most phenomenal thing to me is at the end when he said, go and sin no more. Glory to God. Neither do I accuse you. Which is an indication that he understood that he could have stoned her. He was in a position to stone her. He was a righteous man. He had the right to stone her and nothing would have been done. He could have done it and nothing would have been said because he was righteous. But he looked with compassion to try to give us an example of how we ought to be. And he said, I am not going to accuse you, which I can and I have the right to do it. But my love for you and compassion understands that you just made a bad choice in life and I am here to cause you to come out and to rectify that bad choice, to let you know that that one bad choice isn't the end of your life and that one bad choice will not cause me to come out of your life. That one bad choice is not the end of your life and it will not cause me to step out of your life. This is Jesus talking. Amen. And this is how we need to think in the church. We got people who don't go to church that think sometimes. We went to the, amen, the conference, the unification conference, and while we were sitting there, I'm listening to people, glory to God, who I know probably wasn't going to church as often as they should, maybe not, but they didn't profess a lot of, you know, Christ and what have you, and that's nothing wrong. But my point is that I saw them bring out more wisdom and knowledge of love and understanding than I've seen in the people who profess to have God in them.
That's right.
Something is wrong with that picture,
right. People.
Somebody ought to help me with this. You ought to help me pipe this. Help me preach this. Help me teach this. I saw people... Glory to God. Didn't know us and had more respect for me as a minister in there than people in the church had.
Wow.
Glory to God. Glory to God. That's amazing. But that's life. That's how we, and that tells me, that shows me something. That lets me know that a lot of times, when you need to depend on somebody, when you need help from somebody, when you need somebody to stand by your side, when you need somebody to stand firm with you, a lot of times you can't depend on church people to do it. Sometimes you got to go out and get some of those people who don't attend church as much, don't probably profess to even be saved. A lot of times those people will stand firm with you more than the church people that you go to church with every Sunday. My time is about up. My time is about up. Glory to God. We'll be here on the next Tuesday at 6:30, same time. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock, we'll be on Ustream Live. Amen. We'll be here next Monday at 6:30. Amen, on Blog Talk Radio, and tomorrow at 7 on Ustream Live. But we thank God, and we hope and pray that you have received something from this. I just want you to know before my time expires that the bad choices that you made doesn't mean that it's the end of your life. There are greater things waiting ahead. The Bible declares your latter is going greater than your former. Your latter. The latter part of your years are going to be greater than your former years. Amen. Because now you have experience under your belt. You know who to trust, who to look toward, and who to believe in. Write me, P.O. Box 492 in Cordial, Georgia, 31010. Amen. We'd love to hear from you, a word of testimony. Amen. A blessing, whatever you decide, a prayer request. We'd love to hear from you. Our time is gone. On behalf of my beautiful, lovely wife, amen, Katrina, who is my companion and my best friend, I thank God for her. On her behalf and mine, we bid you Godspeed. God bless you and keep you is our prayer.